Let's talk about some inyanim relating to Yom HaKippurim. There is a rule in Torah Shebal Peh that when dashing a pasuk, you're not allowed to learn two separate halachas from the same word in the same pasuk. And whenever the Gemara does that, the Gemara will always ask, wait a second, I already need that pasuk for something else. And the Gemara will have to say, oh no, I already know that from Halacha Moshe Mesinai or from a different pasuk. Can't learn two halachas from the same pasuk. If you look at page 4 of the Marmor Kalmus, there's a lot of outline here. Page 4 of the Marmor Kalmus, source number 1. Vayikra Perach of Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Beis, says the Chumash, Shabbos Shabbason Hulachem, that Yom HaKippurim is considered Shabbos Shabbason, it is the ultimate Shabbos. V'inisem es nafshoseichem, v'tisha l'chodesh ba'erev. We have to afflict ourselves on the 9th day of Tishrei in the evening. Me'er v'aderev, tishpos shabbatchem, fine. But 9th day in the evening, v'tisha l'chodesh ba'erev. What's the obvious kasha that everyone's going to have to deal with, that the Gemara's are going to jump all over? When do we celebrate or observe Yom HaKippurim? Not on tisha l'chodesh, on 10th day of the month. It's not as easy to remember as Tisha B'Av, the date, but it's still the 10th day of the month is the day, 10th day of Tishrei is the day of Yom HaKippurim. And yet the Pasuk says, B'Tisha L'Chodesh. Not only that, so you could say, okay, no, B'Tisha L'Chodesh B'Erev means that after the 9th day is already over, it's B'Erev, it's the evening following the 9th day. But there's a better Hebrew word than B'Tisha L'Chodesh B'Erev to describe the 10th day, and that is Ba'asiri. Right, that word would convey the 10th day of the Jewish month. So what in the world is going on in this pasuk? The two different gemaras derive two completely different halachas from this one pasuk. On the one hand, you have a gemara brachas tafchesem beis. Gemara asks, the obvious kasha, this is probably most of you learned it with Daf Yomi because it was the first week, so most of us are still in it. So, v'chi b'tisha mesanin, ask the Gemara. No, you aren't. V'chi b'tisha mesanin, do we fast on the 9th day? V'alo ba'asiri mesanin, that's a typo. Ba'asiri mesanin, we don't fast on the 9th day, we fast on the 10th day. Many people's favorite halacha in the entire world, and that is halacha that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim. Not only a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim, anyone who eats and drinks on Erev Yom HaKippurim, it's as if he fasted both Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur itself. So the Rishonim already deal with the issue. Wait. You're supposed to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. So as if you fasted an Erev Yom Kippur, isn't that bad? So why would it be as if you fasted an Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur itself? So there is discussion about this in the actual legitimate Rishonim and Achronim, exactly how to understand that line. But it's a good thing. You're supposed to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. That's apparently a great mitzvah, and not just a mitzvah, a great mitzvah, because it's apparently even bigger than the mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur itself. So we eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Where do we learn it? Because it says B'tisha L'Chodesh, that V'inisim Nafshasechem B'tisha L'Chodesh. We learn from there that when you eat an Erev Yom Kippur, it's ki'ilu, you're fasting. It's every bit as good as V'inisim Nafshasechem. That's one halacha. Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tesam Aleph Yachol B'tisha Mamish. I might think that we observe Yom Kippur on the 9th day of the month. Tamalomer Be'erev. That's why the pasuk says Be'erev. Oh, Be'erev, I Be'erev Yachol Mishatechshach. So I think that's after it gets dark, which is otherwise known as the 10th day of the month. Tamalomer B'tisha. No, that's why the pasuk says B'tisha. It's on the 9th day of the month. Well, what am I supposed to do with that? Haketzatz, which is? Is it the 9th day or is it the 10th day? So says the Gemara, Maschil Mis'ane Miba'od Yom. Melamed Shemosifin Mechol Al Hakodesh. V'en li'al Shemosifin B'chnisaso B'yitziyaso Minayin. Tamalomer Me'erev Aderev. What do we see from this Gemara? A different mitzvah, a requirement to be mosif mechol al hakodesh, that Yom Kippur doesn't start when Yom Kippur starts. Yom Kippur starts before Yom Kippur starts. That we already start v'inisim es nafshoseichem before Yom Kippur actually starts. What we call tosos inoy tosos Yom Kippurim, tosos tosefes, people pronounce it differently, I'm not sure which one is more grammatically correct. We add on to the day of Yom Kippurim. We add on not just before Yom Kippur a little bit to the day, we add on a little bit after the day is already over. So kasha number one is two separate halachos. We pasken them both halacha lemaisa to be true and correct, yet they both come from the same word in the same pasuk, betisha. How can you learn two separate halachas from the same word in the same pasuk? The Gemara never asked that kasha. Just derives two separate halachas from these two, from the same pasuk. That's kasha number one. Kasha number two. The Rambam in Hilchos Shvisas Asar, which is the halachas of Yom HaKippurim, never mentions the requirement to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim. So you say, okay, good. The Rambam was obviously bothered by the first kasha, held that you could only make one of these drashas, and must have darshan that there's a mitzvah tosefes inui, and there must therefore not be a mitzvah tira on Erev Yom Kippur. Fantastic. Problem is, the Rambam does mention the chiyuv to even Erev Yom Kippur, but just not in Hilchos Yom Kippurim. Where does he mention it? If you look in the Rambam, of all places, in Hilchos Nedarim, Perikim Alachates, the Rambam discusses a very interesting case. Hanoder sheyotzum b'shabbos o b'yom tov. Guy takes a neder that he's going to fast on Shabbos or Yantiv. Chayev lotzum, he has to fast. Shanedarim chalam al devar mitzvah kama shbiyarnum. V'chein hanoder, someone who takes a neder, sheyotzum yom rishon or yom shlishi kol yamav. Weird neder, he decides he's going to go on a special diet that he's not allowed to eat on Tuesdays. That's going to be his diet. So he takes a neder that he's not going to eat on Tuesdays. And what happens? Just his luck, this year, Tavshinayim Gimel, Tuesday happens to be Erev Yom HaKippurim. So does he fast or does he eat? Vareyu Yom Tov. Oh! Erev Yom HaKippurim! And Tuesday turns out to be either Yontif, or it turns out to be Erev Yom HaKippurim. Hareza Chayiv Latzum. He has to fast. Now what did the Rambam do? He equated Erev Yom HaKippurim and the requirement to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim with Yontif. And the requirement to eat on Yantif. So you read this Rambam. Does the Rambam hold that there's a din that you eat on Erev Yom Kippur? 100% he holds it. Where is it in Hilchos Shvi'is HaSasar? How come the Rambam doesn't mention it in all of Hilchos Yom Kippur? Only in the halachos of Nedarim? That's where he's going to mention it? Very, very difficult Rambam. Kasha number 3. The Rambam in Hilchos Shvi'is HaSasar. Again, Shvi'is HaSasar is the halachos of Yom Kippur. The Rambam Shvi'is HaSasar, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Here's going to be where he's going to describe what Yom HaKippurim is all about. What are you here for, Charlie? Word association. What's Yom HaKippurim all about? Says the Rambam. Here's what it's all about. Mitzvah Sasei Lishvos Mi Malacha Be'esra L'Chodesh HaShvi'i. There's a mitzvah to not do malacha, to refrain from malacha, when? On the 10th day of the 7th month. What's the Pasuk? Tells us that you're not allowed to do malacha. Very good. Three halachas later, Perek Aleph Halacha Dalit, the Rambam tells us, by the way, that's not all Yom HaKippurim is about, not doing malacha. We don't do malacha on Shabbos, we don't do malacha on Yantif. That's not all that's special about Yom HaKippurim. Mitzvah Sasei Acheres Yesh Bi Yom HaKippurim. There's another mitzvah on Yom HaKippurim. Vihi Lishvos Bo Me'achilu Shtiyah. And that is, we don't eat and we don't drink. Shnemar Ta'anuas Nafshos Seichem. We have a mitzvah of inui. We don't eat, we don't drink. There are chamesh inuyim. Chamesh inuyim. Little children are always taught, they're not taught one of them, because they can't be taught one of them. So they just group achil and shtia as separate. And when they come from school, five things they're not allowed to do. Eat and drink. And no, eat and drink is one. But, you know, what are you going to do? You got to teach them that there are five. So, one thing I could have read this Rambam 1,000 times would not have noticed, but I saw in the Sefer Elohim O'adai, he notices this. What does the Rambam call Yom Kippur in Perek Aleph Halach Aleph? There's a mitzvah saseh to do to Bishovis Mimalacha when? Rambam gives us a date. He doesn't give us a name. Then the Rambam talks about Inui, and what does he do? He calls it Yom HaKippur. Now he's calling it by name. Why, when it comes to Inui, does he call it Yom HaKippurim? When it comes to Malacha, he just calls it by a date. He doesn't give it a name. So I saw in the Sefer Elei Mo'adai, he quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, what I thought was a very interesting approach. The Rambam clearly has an entirely different view of the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim than other Rishonim do. Particularly the way the Torah formulates it is very different than the Rambam. If you look at the Torah in source number 10, we eat on Erev Yom Kippur, but we stop before Ben Hashmashos. Because we learn from a pasuk that we have to add mechol al kodesh, bein beisra achila, bein baasias malacha. Both in terms of not eating and in terms of refraining from malacha. The idea of adding to Yom HaKippurim, what's Sudam Afsekes? Sudam Afsekes, we stop. Now we eat, and then we're going to stop eating. But we're not just going to stop eating, says the Torah. We're also going to stop doing Malacha. We are starting Yom Kippur in its entirety early. Look at the Rambam, how he describes the mitzvah of Tosefes. Source number 12. Hilchos Shisasar Perek Aleph Halacha Vav. Just two halachas later from the last Rambam. Kishem Sheshvos Melacha Bo Bein Bayom Bein Belayla. Kach Shvos Le'inui Bein Bayom Bein Belayla. Just like one needs to refrain from Melacha both in the nighttime and the daytime of Yom HaKippurim, so too we have to refrain from eating both at nighttime and daytime in Yom HaKippurim. But it's not only nighttime and daytime. V'tzarech lahosif mechol ala kodesh b'chnisaso u'b'yitziyaso shenemar v'inisem es nafsho seichem b'tisha lachodesh be'erev. We have to add on because the pasuk says v'inisem es nafsho seichem b'tisha lachodesh be'erev, and that's how we know that you're supposed to add on. That was the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, right? Klomar, what's this pasuk teaching me? Hischil atzom v'lisanos me'erev tisha asamach la'asiri. You should begin to do what early? Fast. What does he not say? Well, that he doesn't say either, but what else does he not say? What did the Torah say? What do we begin early according to the Torah? We begin fasting and Isra Malacha early, according to the Torah. Yom Kippur starts early, in its entirety. We keep all of the halachos of Yom Kippur early. Says the Rambam, no, not all of them. We begin to fast early. Why does the Rambam hold that the mitzvah of Tosefes is only din inui? Well, it's because, where do we learn Tosefes from? B'tisha l'chodesh be'erev. What was the first half of that pasuk? V'inisem esnaf shoseichem. B'tisha l'chodesh be'erev. Fits the pasuk much, much better. And the Torah will say, obviously, why would you keep only the inui? If you're being mosif mechol al kodesh, means you're extending the kedusha of Yom Kippur. Why would you only extend it b'miktsas? Extend the kedusha of Yom Kippur. Extend it. Make a real kedusha of Yom Kippur. Why would you only partially extend the kedusha of Yom Kippur? It doesn't make any sense. There are gemaras that point in either direction. You know, the Rambam sound more like the Rambam, sound more like the Tur. I don't want to go through all the whole sugya now. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Emes Yaakov Ala Torah, a beautiful biur in the Rambam. The Rambam very clearly is understood by everybody. And by the way, the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos never quotes a din of Tosefes Shabbos midoraisa. The Rambam holds that there's no din of Tosefes Shabbos midoraisa or midrabanan actually. Tosefes, the din of Tosefes is only by Yom Kippurim. Midrabanan we extend it to Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. The Rambam is very Yom Kippur centric. He thinks it's purely a din in Yom Kippur. And it's only about Inui. It's not even entirely about Yom Kippur. It's only Inui, not Malacha. Which makes sense that it's not going to apply to other days. It's not going to apply to Shabbos and Yom Tov, because there is no Inui in Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it's not about Malacha, the Mitzvah of Tosefes. Why? Why is the Mitzvah of Tosefes only a din in Inui? Says Rabbi Yaakov, source number 14, Emes Yaakov Ala Torah. Apparently Rabbi Yaakov develops this Yisod in the Emes Yaakov and Shulchan Aruch and on several Mesechtas and Shas as well. And he uses this Yisod to answer dozens of Kashas apparently. But we're just going to use it for the three that we started with. Says Rabbi Yaakov, Hinei Chazal Darshu Milashna Kasuv Shekol Ochel V'Shosu Berbi Yom Kippur Malal V'Kasuv Kilu Esanat Shi V'Asiru. That anyone who eats and drinks in Erev Yom Kippur as if he fasted both Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. Vayin b'tur simin tafer shal shahosif perush kilu nitztavel l'sanas b'shem. And the Torah just adds, it's not just as if we fasted in Erev Yom Kippur, it's as if God had a mitzvah for us to fast in Erev Yom Kippur, and we fasted in Erev Yom Kippur. Because otherwise, what's the concept of fasting in Erev Yom Kippur? You're supposed to eat in Erev Yom Kippur, like we said before. So that's what it means. It's as if there was a mitzvah to fast, and we then kept that mitzvah. The imaginary mitzvah doesn't exist. Good. Vinira. Shetamun kan hageder detainis Yom HaKippurim. That here in this halacha, we are able to be magdir exactly what Yom HaKippurim is all about. Vahainu, shehikpida Torah she'ino shel Yom HaSiri tzarech lahaschil me hayom hachi'i. Yom Kippur has to start, the inu of Yom Kippur has to start from the ninth day. Kolomar, shetzarech lechol b'yom chi'i kodem sof hayom. We need to eat on the ninth day before the end of the day. Ula hafsik me'achilaso mi ba'od yom. Seuda hamafsekes. We stop eating when it's still Erev Yom Kippur. Ula haschil hi'inui. And that's when we begin the inui. Da yime ezetam shu lo ye'ochel k'shir hayom imkein lo nikar hi'inui. Because let's say you just weren't eating because you weren't hungry. So then it's not clear, it's not obvious, it's not evident that the not eating that you're doing is about Yom Kippur. It just looks like you're not eating. We have to make it evident. So the Torah is mitzaveh. Eat all day on Erev Yom Kippur. And then before the day is over, stop. Make a big deal about it. Asu'uda hamafsekes. And when you create that contrast where you're eating all day and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you stop early in advance, preparing for what's coming, you're clearly demonstrating as clearly as possible that the reason you're doing this is because you're being Oved Hashem. Is because that's the mitzvah. So says Rabbi Yaakov, these two mitzvahs, these two dinim, are two sides of the same coin. We don't have one mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, another mitzvah of being Mosif Mechol Al HaKodesh. They're one mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of creating a contrast and making Yom Kippur special through that contrast. We have such dinim, you know, we have parallels in other areas of halacha. The Ran at the beginning of Maseches Megillah discusses why it is that if you can't read Megillah on Purim, you could be Yotzei Megillah, the first Mishnah Megillah, already on Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther, it's not a day of celebration at all. How can we celebrate in Tainus Esther? Tainus Esther is a day of fast. So the Ran says, no, Tainus Esther is a celebratory fast. Why is it a celebratory fast? The Ran explains, we're creating a contrast. You can't celebrate Purim unless you appreciate the threat, unless you appreciate the trauma, the fear that Klal Yisrael had. Because here was Klal Yisrael with this terrible decree against it, not knowing what the future holds, not knowing where we're going to be tomorrow. And then we had salvation. But what kind of salvation was it? We didn't get a base of English back. No, the salvation was that the threat went away. So what kind of celebration is it if you don't appreciate the threat in the first place? So we have to relive the threat, not because we're worried again, but because if we're going to appreciate what Purim is, we need to relive the threat. And that's part of the celebration. Creating a contrast. We have to develop this contrast between what was and what is. So that's a similar idea. We have to create a contrast between Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippurim. The way we create the contrast, we stuff our faces on Erev Yom Kippur. And then we stop when it's still Erev Yom Kippur. And there you have your contrast. It reminds me a little bit also of, you know, the Ramban's idea of Shvisa HaNikeres. The Ramban discusses, can you imagine what Shabbos would be like on a Daraisa level? Let's say we didn't have any mitzvahs to Rabbanon, any Yisurim to Rabbanon of Shabbos. You know what you would do? Well, you'd have to cut winnowing out of your schedule. Probably, we don't do much of it anyway. Okay. I didn't mean to make assumptions. With the exception of Ross, most of us don't have much winnowing in our schedule. What would we do? We'd get on the train, we'd go to work, we'd go shopping, we'd warm up food in the microwave. We'd be able to do everything that we normally do on a weekday. So what did God have in mind? What is Shabbos? So the Ramban writes, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Ramban al-Torah writes, that the point of Kiddush on Shabbos is to create a sense of salvation, we made a big deal about this, of Shvisa HaNikeres. That we're saying, no, we are being koveya our su'udah as a su'udah Shabbos. That's Zechira's Shabbos. If it was just Shmira Shabbos in a chinami, it wouldn't look so different. But we don't just have Shmira Shabbos, we have Zechira's Shabbos. We make it evident, we make it clear that we're not just doing this, we're doing this for a purpose. That we're not just a person who doesn't have much work to do, so we sleep all day. No, we're not working because it's Shabbos. And we express that through the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos also. But it's about being demonstrative in our avodah. And that's the mitzvah of Erev Yom HaKippurim. That's the mitzvah of Tesef Zinoi, that's the mitzvah of Achila Erev Yom HaKippurim. That's how Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky understands it. The Sefer Eileim Ha'adai points to Siddur Rabbeinu Shlomo Migarmaiza. Never would have known this or found this. But he writes almost explicitly like Rabbi Yaakov. Source number 16. Yom HaKippurim Ochlin Mibod Yom V'kol Ochel V'shosu B'tisha Bo Sha'ochlin Mibod Yom U'maschil His'anos Bo Mala Lavakasav Kilo Nisan Achiv Asiri. Notice what he did? The Gemara says that when you eat on Erev Yom Kippur, that's as if you fasted on Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. What does he add? Anyone who's ochel mibod yom, u'maschil lehisanos bo, and also begins to fast mibod yom, That's ki'ilu hisana chiva siri. Meaning, the Tosefes Inui is part of the mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. It's creating that contrast. Rashi, Ksuba Samach, Gimel Amud Aleph. Lo'ach l'sudas Yom Kippurim sh'mafsikin ba'achila l'hisanos. He calls the Suda Mafseka something interesting. Suda Mafseka is what we call Su'udas Yom HaKippurim. What do you mean, Su'udas Yom HaKippurim? It's not Yom Kippur when you're eating the Suda Mafseka. You know, I know, because you're eating. So how could that be Su'udas Yom HaKippurim? But maybe that's the point. Just like Tainus Esther is part of the Purim celebration, the Su'udas, Suda Mafseka is part of the Yom HaKippurim celebration. This is the Rambam's view. Now, based on this, we can answer the questions we began with. One pasuk, two different dinim from one pasuk? No. One din, one idea that reflects itself in two different actions. The action of eating on Erev Yom Kippur and the action of stopping to eat early on Erev Yom Kippur. But it's all the same din. It's all from the din of Betisha, of creating that sense of contrast. You're allowed to learn two reflections of the same din from a single pasuk, so that's fine. The Rambam paskins and Shvi'is Sasser that we're Mosif Inui. You're only Mosif Inui, it's only called being Mosif Inui if you demonstratively are Mosif Inui. It assumes that you're eating the rest of the day. The Rambam doesn't have to say explicitly in Hilchos Shvi'is Sasser that you're eating the rest of the day, because it's not called Tosefes Inui if you're not eating the rest of the day. Does he hold that you eat the rest? Of course he does. That's what he passes in Hilchos Nedarim. But it's evident in the din of Tosefes Inui that you're eating the rest of the day. The Rambam, this is my favorite, the Rambam, the very first halacha in Hilchos Shvi'is Sasar says, when do we do malacha? When are we shvos mi malacha? Ba'eser b'chodesh ha-shvi'i, on the 10th day of the 7th month. Because he's giving you the day of a yantif. And on the 15th day of the 7th month, we keep sukkahs. And we also don't do malacha. It's a date. It's a yantif, like any other yantif. But that's not Yom HaKippurim. That's not what's special about Yom Kippur. You know what's unique about Yom Kippur? It's inui. You don't have that in any other yantif. You have Isra Malacha all the time. But inui on Yom HaKippurim. That makes it different. That makes it special. And the Rambam describes inui. It's B'Yom HaKippurim. It's not just a din in the tenth day of the 7th month. There is a girsa in the Rif that the Beis Yosef quotes that you would say Aneinu at Mincha in Erev Yom HaKippurim. It's very hard. Aneinu, you're actually declaring that you're fasting. If you have to break your fast on a regular fast day, you don't say Aneinu. Because you can't say Aneinu if you're not fasting. Erev Yom Kippur, you're eating your Seudah, you're about to eat your Seudah, you've been eating all day. And you say, Aneinu. How's that Aneinu? Maybe Lefi the Shitas HaRambam, you could understand a little bit. That it's part of the Mitzvah Inui. Part of the Mitzvah Inui is not just to have an Inui, but an Inui HaNikeres. And the way we create that Inui HaNikeres is by eating on Erev Yom Kippur. So it's already begun at Mincha the day before. That's the Rambam's view. The Tur fundamentally understands the entire sugya differently. He understands that there's a din of Yom Kippur and there's a din of extending Yom Kippur. And extending Yom Kippur includes all of Kedushas Yom HaKippurim, Inui, Melacha, everything. We extend Yom Kippur in its entirety. Midoraisa. Shabbos, Midrabanan, we extend. Why do we apply it to Shabbos? Ram didn't apply it to Shabbos because the Torah holds this is not a din about Inui, it's a din about Malacha, about the whole Kedusha Sayom. The Kedusha Sayom extends. So yeah, the Torah taught us to do it by Yom Kippur. Midrabanan, we do it for Shabbos also. For Malacha, because it's a din of Kedusha Sayom. Any day that has Kedusha, you extend a little bit. It's not a din in Inui. Asks Rav Zsolti, the Mishnas Yaivitz, on the tour. There's a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Aleph and Beis, where the Gemara makes the assumption that Shabbos and Yom HaKippurim come bebas achas, that they arrive at the same time. Wait a second, Midor Raisa. The Torah holds that Midor Raisa. Now, according to the Rambam, that's great, Because, yeah, we're Mosif Inoy. We start Inoy a little earlier, but it's not really Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is when Yom Kippur starts. It's not really Yom Kippur yet. So Shabbos and Yom Kippur are going to start at the same time. According to Ram, that works out great. According to the Torah, we actually start everything early. We start Shabbos and, I mean, we start Melacha and Inoy early on Yom Kippur. Midaraisa. Shabbos is only Midarabanan. So on a Daraisa level, shouldn't Yom Kippur start before Shabbos? How could it be that they're both starting at the same time? So there is a well-known machlokas between the Taz and the Marshal. It's really a machlokas Rishonim. It's 2 days in Tosas in Pesachim, Tzadi Tes, and Tosas in Ksubas, Daf Mem Zayin. But it's called the machlokas Taz and Marshal because they're the ones that really flesh it out. When a person is Mosif Mechol Al HaKodesh, what are you doing? When you add extra to Shabbos Midrabanan, Yom Kippur Midaraisa, is it actually Yom Kippur earlier? Or is it make-believe Yom Kippur? But you didn't really you can't really make the day Yom Kippur. It's just you keep the dinim of Yom Kippur. According to the Torah, where it's Melacha, Inui, everything. We're observing Yom Kippur early. But it's not actually Yom Kippur early. So, according to the Taz, it's actually Yom Kippur. You're making it Yom Kippur early. It is the next day. According to the Taz, this kasha of the Mishnah Zayavit is not a problem. You know why? Because as soon as you make it the next day, if Yom Kippur happens to fall on Shabbos, as soon as you make it the next day, you know what it becomes? Not just Yom Kippur, it also becomes Shabbos, because you made it the next day. In that din of Tosefes comes the koach to make the actual day start earlier. The calendar day begins earlier, including the fact that it's Shabbos. Can you make Kiddush? Yes. Can you be Yotze Shalosh Seudos? Probably. Because it's already the next day. According to the Marshal, though, the Marshal is no. It's make-believe Shabbos. It's make-believe Yom Kippur. You're not really, it doesn't really start Yom Kippur early. So according to Marshal, maybe, so then the Kasha is still a Kasha. The observance, Yom Kippur observed, always starts earlier than Shabbos observed on a Daraisa level. So we'd have to say, according to Marshal, is that there's two separate dinim. There's a din of Yom Kippur, and there's a din of Tosefes Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur starts the same time as Shabbos. Tosefes Yom Kippur starts earlier. Something like that. That machlokas, Taz and Marshal, it's a powerful machlokas. I think I told you the story when Rav Shechter came to my house for Shabbos. I picked him up from the train because he insisted on taking the train. I was going to go pick him up and drive into the Heights to pick him up. No, you're going to waste so much time. I don't want you. Okay, fine. I wanted to take a train. I was hoping to get peace and quiet on the train. He'd sit and learn. Told me someone was chewing his ear off the whole train ride. He didn't get to sit and learn. Okay, fine. So I picked him up from the train in Valley Stream and I was bringing him back to, because I live in Valley Stream. So I was at South Valley Stream. So I was driving him back to my house or to my sister's house where he was staying. And I was telling him the schedule that we're going to have on Shabbos, and I said that, we're making early Shabbos with plug, and then we'll have a shir in the shul at 8:45 or whatever it was, 8:30, I don't remember when we scheduled for. It was June time, so it made sense to make early Shabbos. So he said, I was in, I think it was Holland or something, he told me some country that he was in recently, and he said, I was visiting the yeshiva there, and Shabbos was very, very late, and they made an early Shabbos, and we were having the Suda in the yeshiva. It was very nice, beautiful yeshiva. The boys were learning so nicely. And I couldn't believe it. None of the boys in the yeshiva knew that they were supposed to eat a kezayis of challah after Tzeis HaKochavim. When they make early Shabbos, that it's biyotzi Suda's Shabbos, they need to have a kezayis of challah after Tzeis HaKochavim. And, the Rosh Yeshiva never told them. So I told the Rosh Yeshiva they should educate them. They should tell them that. The boys, they didn't know this halacha. So I'm like, nice story. Why in the world are you telling me this story? And then I realized I had scheduled that night's shir without enough time to him possibly eat a kezayis of challah after Tzeis HaKochavim because we're going to make it early Shabbos. So he's trying to drop a subtle hint that the schedule didn't really conform to the halacha. So I said, maybe we'll change the schedule a little bit. We'll push the shiur to 9:30 or something. So we adjusted the schedule. What's that based on? Why do you need to have a kezayis of challah? We're most of Mechol al Kodesh. We started Shabbos early. Shabbos starts early, no? The Gemara says you're allowed to make Kiddush early. Shabbos starts early. So why does the Gemara even have a Havamina that you can't make Kiddush early? Is it dinner of Tosef Shabbos? Because maybe Shabbos doesn't really start early. Maybe where make-believe Shabbos starts early. The Shabbos observed starts early. But Shabbos doesn't start early. So maybe Talion is din. What exactly is happening with Tosefes? Now with Shalosh Shuvos is din of Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. The Gemara, Darshan's Apostle says three times Hayom and Shabbos, so you have to have three on the Yom itself. But is it the Yom itself when you start early? Or is it not the Yom itself? Machlokas Taz and the Marshal. So there are a lot of nafkaminas between the Taz and the Marshal. Not going to go through all of them, we'll go through a couple of them just to wet your palate a little bit. On Shmini Atzeres, there is a halacha. The Gemara says in Masech HaSukkah, Yisuvi Yisvin and Bruchi Lom Vrachinan. You sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, but you don't make a bracha. So what happens if you start Yantif early, Shmini Atzeres? You start a plug, and you don't want to eat late, you know, you just start a plug, Shmini Atzeres. And you go home. Do you eat in the sukkah? Do you make a bracha when you eat in the sukkah, or do you not make a bracha when you eat in the sukkah? Or let's say you're a chassid, or you take on chassidish and hug him that are convenient for you. So you decide that you don't eat in the sukkah and Shmini Atzeres in general. But you got home, it's still light outside, and you're already celebrating Shmini Atzeres. So do you eat in the sukkah, or do you not eat in the sukkah? So if you actually started the calendar day early, that you have that kind of koach, like the Taz says you have, so then it's not sukkahs anymore. It's Shmini Atzeres. So if you're a chassid, you wouldn't eat in the sukkah, and if you're a litvak, you wouldn't make a bracha. But if you don't have that kind of koach, you're just observing certain halachas of Shmini Atzeres and Isra Malacha, you're observing. But not, you don't have the ability to transform the day, well then it's still a Shana Rabbah. And you eat in the sukkah with a bracha. Right, so that would be one nafkamina. Yeah?
Is like Zman and like Kriyashma, is that completely independent of this?
No, or? That's not completely independent. That would also be a nafkamina. Although Kriyashma may be Bishas Shchiva. So if it's not Shas Shchiva, no, Kriyash may be different. You're right. So we're makpid that Shmini Atzeres, we don't get home until after Tzeisa Kachavim, just to be sure that, you know, we know what we're doing. Another example. Shabbos meals, I already gave that nafkamina. A woman has to do a hefsek tara before she counts her seven clean days. She has to check herself to make sure that there's no blood, right? That she has stopped bleeding. She has to do that before the day begins, before sunset. Let's say she made early Shabbos, so she already lit candles. So her family already started Shabbos, but it's light outside, it's before sunset. Can she do Hafsik Tara? Is the day over, or is it still? No, we're just observing this from Malacha, but the day's not over yet. So Ramad discusses in Yerodeus, in Kuf Sadivav. Not enough for me, if you get Svira on Thursday night, and you forgot to count it Friday the whole day, and you make an early Shabbos, and you realize, uh-oh, but it's still light outside. Can I still get Svira? So, can you still get it, can you not? Is it the next day, or is it not the next day? So that's also a discussion. Taz and Tafer Samuches discusses that. Rav Yosef Engel, the most brilliant idea, like always, Rav Yosef Engel and Gilyonei Ashas, wonders, what if you have Shabbos falls on Yom Kippur? Can you accept Kedushas Yom Kippur early without Kedusha Shabbos, or Kedusha Shabbos early without Kedusha Yom Kippur? Meaning, you have to be Mosef Mechol HaKodesh. How much do you have to be Mosef? I don't know, a little bit. How much can you be Mosef? All the way back to Plag HaMincha, right? So let's say I want to start Shabbos at Plag HaMincha. But Yom Kippur, I'm not so eager to start so early, so I'll start Yom Kippur, I don't know, 20 minutes before the Zman. Can I do that? Can I accept one Kedusha without the other? Says Rav Yosef Engel, brilliant. He says, can't be. You can't do it. I'll prove to you that you can't do it. Because there is a mitzvah on Shabbos to have su'udas Shabbos. Three su'udas, really. You have to have su'udas on Shabbos, right? When Shabbos falls out on Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, we don't have su'udas Shabbos. Why? Because you can't. It's Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to eat. So what are you going to do? If you could accept one Kedusha before the other, you know what you should do? You should accept Kedusha Shabbos early, except Yom Kippur a little bit later, have a Su'uda in that in-between time, you'll be Yotzei Su'uda Shabbos. And everyone should be required to do that. Why did we never ever hear of anybody ever doing that? It must be that you can't accept one Kedusha without the other, says Rav Yosef Engel. But let's put this through the Taz and Marshal. If you hold like the Taz, that when you accept the day early, you're accepting it's mamish becoming the next calendar day, well, that's not a raya at all. Because if I accept Shabbos early, by definition, it has to be that I'm accepting Yom Kippur early. It's the next day already. Right? You have to say, it can't be, then of course, there's no Shaila, that you can't split the two. Of course, if Yosef Engel would be correct, that the two could not be split. And if you hold like the Marshal, that I could accept, that when I accept the day early, I'm accepting hanhagos and halachos of the day, but not the actual day. The actual day doesn't start earlier. Well, I can't be Yotze Suda Shabbos then anyway. I could be most Michalach, I could accept Kedusha Shabbos early and stop doing Malacha, but I can't be Yotze Suda Shabbos then anyway. I got to have Rav Shechlus Kazayas after Tzeisak Kochavim. So it's not going to work anyhow. Nafkaminas between the Taz and the Marshal. Lots of good nafkaminas. One more point before we'll say some Divrei Hashkafa, because this was my Shabbos Shuvah Drasha yesterday. Yesterday was like a half hour of Lamedus and, you know, 45 minutes of Hashkafa Musar. But one more point. The Rambam in the Tur. The Machlokas, the Rambam in the Tur. L'may nafkamina. Other than whether the mitzvah applies to malach or just to inoy being mosif. Let's say you have somebody who's not going to fast in Yom Kippur. Rachmana litzlan, they're not going to fast in Yom Kippur because they're ill or whatever, they can't. I once heard a tape from Rav Soloveitchik, a recording of Rav Soloveitchik, one of Rav Soloveitchik's shiurim. Most of his shiurim are in Yiddish. And I don't speak Yiddish, so it's a problem. I can't understand any of the shiurim. Even if I understood my parents' Yiddish, it's more of a Hasidish Yiddish, or Soloveitchik had a very Litvish Yiddish. You could tell, I don't speak Yiddish, but you could tell the difference between the Hasidish Yiddish and the Litvish Yiddish. Ey, yay, is the Litvish one, you know. Right, anyway, when you're a rabbi and you don't speak Yiddish, it's a big problem, because everyone assumes you speak Yiddish. Like, I meet other rabbis, and they're like, they start telling me jokes in Yiddish, and I'm like smiling, and hoping that they're not telling me something sad, you know. Like, but it doesn't like come with the smicha, you know. Certainly not with the YU smicha. It doesn't come. So what was I saying? Yes, I was listening to a tape from Soloveitchik's, and it was a shiur in English, and it was unbelievable. It was so powerful. He was saying how he was a young man when he gave the shiur, and he was saying how he doesn't know what he would choose if it ever came down to it, and he had to choose. He doesn't know what's better. To have to eat on Yom Kippur, or to just not be here anymore. He can't imagine still living in this world, being here and having to eat on Yom Kippur. He said, "It's just I can't imagine ever having to do something like that." And I thank God that that's going to be God's choice, not my choice to make. It wasn't his choice to make. He was very ill toward the end of his life. But he said, "Couldn't imagine." So that's Tosefes. That's. Rachman al Tzlan, someone has to eat on Yom Kippur. So nu, what's the halacha? Someone has to eat on Yom Kippur, do they have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So if you hold like the Rambam, that the whole mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is creating a contrast, there's no contrast here. But if you hold like the Torah, no, it's an independent mitzvah. There's a separate mitzvah, being most Michal al Kosh, has nothing to do whatsoever with Tosefes Inoy or any of that. So then, yeah, you would still eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Rabbi Kivega discusses, what about a woman who does a woman have a mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur? If it's an independent mitzvah, it's a mitzvah Seish Hazman Grama, a woman's pater. But if it's part of the mitzvah of Inui Yom Kippurim, well, a woman is chayiv in the mitzvah of Inui Yom Kippurim, then she's going to be chayiv. The context of that tshuva in Rabbi Kivega is very fascinating. Rabbi Kivega was asked about a woman who was given a very strict diet by her doctors, and she was told that she has to only eat a certain amount. Eating more than that amount is going to be dangerous, and she can kill her, she can die. So Rabbi Kivega, so she decided.
I'm sorry I wasn't here today. I'm going to Israel tonight.
Oh, have a safe trip. Gemar Chasimatova. Good Yantif. Have a safe trip. We'll miss you. So Rabbi Kivega was asked. Rabbi Kivega was asked by the girl's father. The girl said, "Listen, I'm frum. The doctor said I can't eat more than I'm supposed to eat, but there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. I'm going to eat a set of Hassan Homan and Yom Kippur. I'm going to eat everything in Yom Kippur. And the Fasa said, you're going to die. She said, I don't care. God said you have to eat, I'm going to eat. So the father sent a letter to Rabbi Kiviger. What do I do with this kid? What do I do with this girl? So Rabbi Kiviger writes back, here's what you do. You tell her that the Gadol Adar, Rabbi Kiviger, wrote that he has made a gezeira on her that she must only eat what the doctor said she's supposed to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and not to be such a frumak, and you know, and show her this letter that I made a gezeira on her that she has to eat, and then she'll know. Rabbi Kiviger said so. Sometimes the Talmud Chacham has to know when he's going to be listened to also, and you, so tell her that. But Rabbi Kiviger is writing a tshuva. So what? His whole tshuva is going to be: should you die, or should you eat extra, or should you eat a limited amount in Erev Yom Kippur? You don't need to be Rabbi Kiviger to pass on such shaila. So he says, you know, once I'm writing you a letter, I have to discuss some halacha with you. So he says, here's the halacha I'll discuss with you. What if you have a regular woman? Is she chayiv in the mitzvah of eating an Erev Yom Kippur? And that's where he fleshes out this whole discussion. It wasn't even the shaila that he was asked. But how could you write a letter without any content to it? So that's enough kamina between Torah and the Rambam. Not enough kamina. What if you have someone who comes to Bar Mitzvah, Motzai Yom HaKippurim? Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is after Yom Kippur also. So how related is it to the Mitzvah of Yom Kippur? So the Katan wasn't Chayiv in Yom Kippur. Is he Chayiv in Tosefes Yom HaKippurim Midaraisa? So if Tosefes is part of the Mitzvah of Yom Kippur, then he's not Chayiv in Tosefes. Tosefes is not part of the Mitzvah of Yom Kippur. He's going to be Chayiv. There's a Minchas Chinuch Safek, a Mitzvah Shen Yud Gimel. He's not sure about a Katan Shigdal. It's a very Minchas Chinuch kind of Safek. But a katan becomes a gadol mamish on the day after Yom Kippur. A couple of divrei hashkafa. You guys have time for some divrei hashkafa? A little divrei hashkafa. Mosif mechal al kodesh. Just one bit of musr. What's the number one question that everybody asks each other the day after Rosh Hashanah, the day after Yom Kippur, mostly the day after Rosh Hashanah? You come to school the next day, and all the kids in the class, when you're in high school, when you're in elementary school, and adults do this also. What time did you get out yesterday? They don't even have the good graces to say, what time did you complete the tefillah? What time did you finish? What time did you get out yesterday? As if you were in jail and you needed to get out to escape. Mosif Mechal al Kodesh is a treat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. We have to realize that Kedusha is a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Kedusha is not a punishment. Now, when I was speaking to women, Shabbat Shuvah Joshua for women yesterday, for women I hear it. All the Kedusha. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and then a Shabbos right afterwards, and then Erev Yom Kippur preparing all these meals, and then another Shabbos, and then another 2 days of Yantav, another Shabbos, another 2 days of Yantav, another Shabbos, and they have to cook for all that, and they have... Okay, I understand that it's hard to internalize that that's a gift. For us, it's a gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an opportunity to take a step back and enjoy extra Kedusha. And enjoy being in His presence. Enjoy having that special closeness with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Specifically on Yom HaKippurim, Hashem says, I'm going to give you a really good gift. Because Yom Kippur, Mishan Tainus. There's no happier day on the calendar than Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim. It's such a special gift. Yom Kippur, at some point in our lives, you know, we stop being 9 years old, where we're just looking at the clock all day. Say, oh, when's this going to be over? When's this davening going to be over? When can I go home? When's my father going to let me leave already? At some point, we have to make that transition from being the 9-year-old saying, this is awesome. You know what? I'm not eating and I'm not even hungry. Because I don't care about food right now. See, Yom Kippur, I have too much else to worry about, too much other things to enjoy. I'm enjoying something so much more precious than food. I don't care when I get out, because I have nowhere else to go, and there's nowhere else that I'd rather be. Because Kedusha is a gift. And we have the ability to be Mosif Mechol al Kodesh. One of the ways that we're Mosif Mechol al Kodesh, the Rambam describes, Charlie once gave a great mashal. Charlie, just on this issue, Charlie's not still there, but I'm pointing there because that's where he spoke from. But he once gave a mashal. He said, you know, imagine a father-in-law supports his daughter and his son-in-law. His son-in-law is learning in Kollel. I know, hard to imagine, but there are such people that they support the son-in-law who doesn't have a job and he's learning. And kids are coming for Yantif, and he's all excited. Children are coming for Yantif. And he lives in a nice house, and he goes out by his bedroom on the terrace in front of his bedroom, waiting for his kids, and he sees the walkway underneath, you know, where you come into the house, his daughter and his son-in-law. They don't see him, but he sees them. They pull up, and they're walking into the house, and he hears his daughter-in-law say, his daughter say to his son-in-law, "Listen, it's just 2 days. Please, just grin and bear it. I know my parents are annoying. I know it's difficult for you. Just please, just like, make it work. You'll suffer for a couple of days, and everything will be fine, and then we'll get out of here as soon as Yantif is over. Don't worry about it." What does a father-in-law think when he hears that? So first Eitzah is, don't say it on the walk. You know, that's a conversation maybe you have at home. But what's he supposed to think? Here I am, I'm supporting them. I'm helping them. I love them. I'm showering them with love. All I do is good for them. I'm providing them with Yantif, which, by the way, they can't afford to make for themselves. And that's what I have to hear? You'll get out of here the second Yantif is over? I'll let you out of this jail? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us another year of amazing life, of breath, of success, of joy, of good times, of accomplishment. And he enabled us to do all of these things. And he just wants to spend a little time with us. And what's our discussion? When did you get out? When did you finish? When were you able to escape? Are you finished at 1:35? Well, my shul is much better because I finished at 12:58, so I'm 37 minutes better than you. We have to be mosif mechal al hakodesh. Kedusha is not a punishment. Kedusha is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the ways that we enjoy this gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, that a person should have everything he does, shichbo v'kumo v'kol ma'asav, directed, geared toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu and toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. Le'umas zeh hadavar, for this matter alone. How do you have your entire schedule geared toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So you might think, oh, I know how to do that. Learn all day, quit my job, don't go to school, learn all day, daven all day. The Rambam says, no, ketzad, how do you do this? Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, when you go to work and you make money, don't think I'm doing this likbots mamon, just to amass money. Think, have a kavana that I'm doing this so that I can eat and drink and have a house to live in and get married, because those are things God wants me to do, and when I do those things, I'll be able to serve Hashem better. It's unbelievable. What the Rambam's telling you is, don't do things differently. Don't do different things. Do the same things differently. You have to eat anyway. You have to drink anyway. You're going to have to live in a house anyway. You're going to want to get married anyway. You could do it l'shem shemayim, or you could do it just for doing it. Not l'shem shemayim. And that makes a world of difference. You could have an act that is chol. It's mundane. It's nothing. It's not special. But you could make it kodesh with the proper kavana. And the Rambam says, and you're going to find, the Rambam writes this, when you make it kodesh, it's going to be doing different things also. Ultimately, it will turn into doing different things. Because if you're eating just because you enjoy it, you're going to eat candy and cake all day long, because that's what's good. And Brussels sprouts aren't. I don't know. I never eat Brussels sprouts. But that's what's really good. But if you're eating to live, you're going to eat healthy. And you'll serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're eating to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You'll eat healthy because you want to be strong to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you'll see that everything you do will start to transform into, what am I doing to serve Hashem? What am I doing to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's our Mosif Mechol Al Kodesh in our lives. We turn our Chol into Kedusha. Now, to be sure, and this is important, there is the Shita of the Marshal, that when we're Mosif Mechol Al Kodesh, we're being Noheg Kedusha, but it's not the actual Kedusha. Talmud Torah is still Talmud Torah. Mitzvos are still mitzvos. It doesn't mean that you make a Birchas HaTorah before you go to college. It's not Torah. But if you're going l'shem shamayim, to do the right things and to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you in this world, it becomes infused with the sense of Kedusha. Not the same Kedusha. We subscribe to the sheet of the Marshal. It doesn't become the same. It doesn't become Shabbos. But it does have a sense of Kedusha associated with it. We should never make that mistake. It's important to infuse it with Kedusha, but never think that it's the same Kedusha, because it's not. I was listening, Rabbi Cohen was talking to one of our alumni recently, and I was overhearing the conversation. I wasn't supposed to, but they were right near me. Sweet boy, Svarti boy, very, very nice kid, who's struggling with some issue, some decision he has to make in life. And I overheard him say to Rabbi Cohen, just tell me, all I want to know is, what does Hashem want from me? What does Hashem want me to do? And I'll do it. And it was so unbelievably simple. What does Hashem want from me? How we most of Michal al-Kodesh, how do we bring Kedusha in our chulin lives, in our mundane lives? Just by asking the question every once in a while, and hopefully more than every once in a while, what does Hashem want me to do? The answer is not always simple, and certainly Rabbi Cohen, as a responsible Rebbe, was not going to claim to know exactly what Hashem wants in a difficult situation. He talks through the issue with him, helps him clarify what the various issues are, and the boy hopefully will make the right decision, whatever it is, which I'm sure he will, because he's asking the right question. What does Hashem want from me? A lot of times we complicate things with decisions, and we forget to ask the most simple question. You know, Charlie gives another mashal of a diet. You know, some people go on diets, so they want to lose weight. What do? They eat healthy, cut out the fat from their diet, and they exercise. That works. Every diet that works long term involves those two components: watching what you eat and doing exercise. Some people think they have a chap. They're going to come up with something and go like this. If you eat only blueberries on Wednesday, and then Thursday you eat all carbs, and then Tuesday you can eat whatever you want, and then Monday you don't eat anything, and Shabbos you eat 7 meals, but they're very small. It doesn't work. There's no shortcuts. There's no end around. My mother has a friend who went on a diet once where 2 hours a day she was allowed to eat whatever she wanted. That was the diet. She starved all day, and then 2 hours a day she could eat whatever she wanted. And I guess the cheshbon was, what are you going to eat already in 2 hours, right? How much could a person eat? Well, she put it to the test. She went down every store in Central Avenue and ate them out of, you know, whatever they had, and she gained weight. Would you believe? You got to keep it simple sometimes. When making cheshbonos in life, it's not about, you know, sometimes it's just a simple question. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me? And try to cheshbon it that way. That's the first question. That's our Mosif Mechol HaKodesh. I'll just add one more thing. It's not really related to Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, but I thought it was a beautiful point. I read this book, Willpower, recently. Have I spoken to you guys about this book? It's a book written by two psychologists who are both agnostics. They are not religious at all, do not believe in God. But they studied the Yetzer Hara, essentially. They studied human willpower. Why it is that we have the ability to overcome certain nisyonos, and then we lose that ability at a certain point, why we hit a wall in terms of our willpower. Why it is that, just to use the dieting mashal, that I, sitting here in front of you today, am 30 pounds lighter than I was 3 months ago. Statistically speaking, I will be at least 40 pounds heavier 1 year from now. Not 30 pounds, 40 pounds heavier than 1 year from now. Why is it that we lose willpower? So it's an amazing, amazing study. I mean, it's slow at first. The book is slow at first. It picks up at the end. Amazing insights into the human psyche. I'm not going to go into all of it now. We have places to go. But one thing, one amazing thing that they said, that in an experiment on one Halloween, some of the trick-or-treaters who visited the home of a psychologist were asked their names, directed to a side room, and told to take one and only one piece of candy. Trick-or-treat at a psychologist and he does experiments. Only one piece of candy. The room had a table with several bowls of attractive candies, and the children could easily violate the instructions without any consequences, which many of them did when the mirror in the room was turned backward against the wall. Essentially what he did is, half the kids were sent into a room where there was no mirror. They couldn't see themselves. And those kids stuffed their pockets. They were told to take one. They stuffed their pockets, their mouths, their bags, their everything. And they took it because they couldn't be caught. There was no one looking. All he did with the other kids, flipped the mirror around. Now they could see themselves while they're taking the candies. And they took one candy and walked out. Why? Because they could see themselves. That's me taking that candy. And think about it. Who did they see? They saw Darth Vader taking the candy or whatever their Halloween costume was. It was an approximation of themselves. It didn't even look like them. But seeing some approximation of themselves, that was enough to deter them from doing the Avera, from stealing the extra candy. No one was punishing them. Just seeing, stepping outside of yourself and watching yourself from an outsider's perspective. How do other people look at me? That ability to step outside of yourself is all they needed. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks in Letters to the Next Generation, the second volume, came in the mail recently. I don't know if everyone else got it in the mail. I got it in the mail. One of the yeshivas, I guess, sent it out. Someone sent it out. It tells the story of the Nobel Prize. You know the history of the Nobel Prize? Unbelievable story. Who was Nobel? He was the man who invented dynamite. 1888. He's sitting there, he's reading his morning paper, and he comes across his own obituary. Takes his pulse. I feel like I'm still alive. The journalist messed up. They accidentally, his brother had died the day before. Okay, why is he sitting there having coffee and paper the day after his brother died? Okay, Akasha Lamaisa, but he's sitting there, and they wrote an obituary for him. And he couldn't believe what he read. It spoke about the dynamite king who made a fortune from explosives. And he's like, wait a second. That's what I'm going to be remembered for? For creating explosives? I'm a good guy. I don't want to be remembered that way. So he decided to create 5 annual prizes for people who make outstanding contributions in physics, chemistry, medicine, literature, and peace. And in Arafat's case, terror. He decided he was going to be remembered for peace. Because that's what he wanted to be remembered. What did it take? What did it take to make that decision? Didn't he realize that he invented dynamite, that was going to be the way he was going to be remembered? Why did he have to read the obituary to realize that? Because I'm a good guy. I know myself. Of course I'm a good guy. When we're judging ourselves from the inside, we're always good. But he took a look at how someone else looked at him. At how a journalist who thought he was dead and didn't need to, you know, talk nice to him because he's a rich guy and didn't need to make nice and act like he's someone special because he wants to get in his good graces. He saw objectively, how is this person going to look at me? And when he saw that, he saw an outsider's perspective of himself. Changed everything. The Rambam writes, the mitzvah of tshuva is not a mitzvah of tshuva, it's a mitzvah of tshuva with vidui. You could have charata, kabbalah, everything else, you judge yourself. Vidui. Because what's vidui? Chatasi, al-chet shechatanu, ashamnu, I did it. You look in the mirror and you point a finger at yourself from an outsider's perspective. That's the mitzvah of vidui. That's the mitzvah of tshuva. Because if we don't do that, we're not being honest with ourselves. That's why Chazal say, Tov lech l'beis avel mi'beis mishta, better to go to a house of mourning than a beis mishta, because in a house of mourning, you start thinking about, what are they going to say about me? What are they going to talk about, as Rabbi Jonathan Sacks says, the Patek Philippe watch that you wore? And talk about the kind of car you drove, and if they do, it's the saddest thing in the world. I was at a funeral like that once. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. I spoke about how rich the guy was, all the cool stuff he had, and how he used to flirt with women all the time. Saddest thing I ever heard. That's all they had to say about it. They thought they were compliments. I don't know. It's the best they can come up with. We look at ourselves from outside of ourselves. And that's the key to proper tshuva and the vidui. And Hashem, we should be zocheh to have with Gemara Chasima Tovah.